Is there anything in the relative world worth fighting for? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Is there anything in the relative world worth fighting for? And you say, yes, our principles, yes, our values, yes, our country, yes, this, that, and the other thing. And that's not correct. Nothing is worth fighting for. If I have values, and I say my value is that I will have one wife at a time, and I will take care of my children, and I will take care of my family, and I will feed them, house them, clothe them, and do all these good things, and I'll be a good citizen in my community, in my country, and so forth. So, then along comes somebody else and says, you're not a good citizen because you're not doing what I want you to do. And I'll say, you're right. You're right. I'm not living by your values. I'm living by my values. But you got to live by my values. And they fight me, you know. And I say, hey, I'd like to hear all about your values. Would you like to tell me? What are your values? And then they tell me their values. I don't fight them. They tell me their values. And lo and behold, their values are the same as mine. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't know that I thought like they did or that they thought like I did. They just didn't know. Now, if I fight about it, it's because I don't communicate. I don't share with other people what my beliefs are, and I don't let them share with me what their beliefs are. As the creator of the universe, ich, mich, I, you know, as the creator of the universe, I create everybody, creating it, their universe, exactly like I create mine. I create everybody in the world having the same values I do, having the same dreams, desires, goals, and programs that I do, and that we might speak a different language, or that we might enunciate our values in a little different way, expressing them in a little different way, pointing them out in a little different way, usually from our, not the word, this doesn't fit, but from our selfish point of view, from our own way of looking at it, not taking into account somebody else's way of looking at it. Now, in our house, we like to speak Spanish when we're not speaking English because it's a lovely language, and our heritage comes from the Spaniards, and our family comes out of a Mexican background or out of a Spain, Portugal, or whatever background. And so we speak Spanish, you know. And your family comes out of a German background, and so you're honking German all the time, you know. You're an old kraut, and you're talking German. Generally speaking, you're speaking beautiful English because that's your homeland. That is where you live. That's what your citizenship is. And it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. I just received my passport from the federal government. I had to send it in because in about 6 months it comes due, and I want to have it ready when I go in March to Europe and Nigeria and what have you. So it came back. And on one of the pages of the passport, in fact, the page 4 and 5, InCybers lists all the things that you should be aware of. It says, if you have dual citizenship, be careful, because you can be called into the service if you are in their country at the time of their emergency and they need to conscript you, and there's nothing the United States government can do about it, because you have dual citizenship. You are now, you are American citizenship, yes, but you are also a citizen of that country. Mm-hmm. And if you have any problems or you have any concerns or or worries, well, there's nothing much the United States can do for you. If you have a dual citizenship and the country in which you have your dual citizenship is finding you at fault for some reason. Now, if you're an American, then the American embassy would step in and would make a judgment as to whether you were right or wrong and stand behind you. Now, that's like having two masters, you know. Anyone who has two citizenships either loves the one or hates the other or whatever, and it's just the way it goes. And so as we have these dual citizenships, we are putting ourselves up with dual attitudes. When we have in our home the ability to speak Spanish and the ability to speak English, with Spanish chomping right in there with English, then when it comes time to make decisions, we'll make decisions based upon our Spanish heritage as well as our American heritage. And what should our decisions be based upon if we are American citizens?
American.
On our American heritage. And anything that has happened before in America is our heritage, is part of who we are. And if we do not stand up for it, then we are not good citizens. Now, are you people of value? Are we people of confidence? Do we believe in our country? Do we stand by our country? Why did we want to become citizens of the country in the first place? Because we believed in it. And we believe that what it teaches and what it shares and what it is valid. And so we give it 100% of our attention, 100% of our beingness. That's kind of nice to have a dual citizenship with a Swiss and American citizenship, because if you're over in Switzerland and you show your Swiss passport, you go zip, zip, zip through things, you know, because they don't even think a thing about it. And when you're an American and you're in some foreign countries, you could show Swiss or American passport, and both are readily accepted because both countries have a good reputation. Now, if some conflict were to come up concerning America, and you didn't want to be responsible for it, then you just use your Swiss passport and stay away from America until they solve their conflict. And you don't support them or stand up with them or stand behind them. You just run into the bushes and take your dual citizenship and protect yourself from any harm that way. But what are your values? What are your values? What do you want out of life? When people say to you, for instance, Ellen was asking just a moment ago. She said, in the Song of the Spirit, you talk about the possibility that we could live forever, and we could live in this life forever, or we could move on from this life at the time we are ready and go off into some other life or some other expression or some other dimension. And I say, yes, that's all true. That's all true. And what if you don't want to go? Well, if you don't want to go, you won't go. But the thing is, you want to go. Why do you let yourself get old and decrepit? Because you want to get rid of your body.
Wow.
If you want to stay young and vital and dynamic, then you will, and you'll keep your body, and you can continue living here a long, long time with a very healthy body. But do you think your body gets old because of age? Do you think your body has illnesses because of conditions around you? Do you think that you are experiencing abundance or poverty because of the outside activities of the world? No, 100% no. It's all our thought. It's all our thought. Now, if we have our thoughts clear and blessings. Now, I've just been telling you about this vision program, the Bates program, and how he describes it, and several others. And what does he say? He said, if we are at peace with ourselves, if we are relaxed and we learn how to relax, we will have perfect vision. Because the instrument for perfect vision is always there. The instrument does not get womped out of shape. We think it gets womped out of shape, so therefore it gives us a bad report. But it does not get womped out of shape. There's no way for it to be misshapen. There is. It could be elongated or rounded or flattened, all of these things, but it's just ready to burst back to its original purity and integrity. If we relax and get our bloated nothingness out of the way of telling our eyes how to respond and how to act. And then as we do this, then good happens. Now, this is something for all of us to start working on very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Start recognizing, I have perfect eyes. and start doing everything to encourage your eyes to be perfect. Do you have the ability to see two fingers in front of your one finger and stuff like that? Do you have the ability to see one finger out here and then two fingers in front of it? Do you have the ability to see one spot of black like Bates points out? Do you have the ability to do these things? And the answer is no. You don't have the ability to do it until you become at peace. Now, what is the reason most people cannot see two fingers behind the one finger? Because they haven't learned the rule. The rule is you look at the one finger, put the other finger behind it, and you'll see two fingers. Look at this finger and put one finger in front of it, and you'll see two fingers in front. It's just a matter of the movement of the eyes back and forth, and it's a matter of of relaxing, of being at peace. And as you're at peace, it's not an exercise. It's not something you're forcing to happen. It's not something you're encouraging to happen. It's the matter of you saying to yourself, I am in control. I am in control. And you breathe a big sigh, and you relax, and you're in control. And magic happens. Magic happens. And when you're ready for it, then everything you could ever want is yours and reveals itself to you right now in beautiful, full dimension. And your life goes on. Now, why did Picasso, did he die? I think he did. But why did Picasso die? At the age of 80, he was going strong. At 90, he was still going strong. But everybody says, man, for such an old guy, you're still going strong. For such an old, everybody is thinking of him as old. Now, if he would just get out of the public eye, which he couldn't do very well, but if he get out of the public eye and get in the eye of those who love him, and those who don't see him old, they see him young and vital, dynamic, alive, they see him doing these things, he would continue on to 200 years if he liked, you know, and be dynamic and vital. But we surround ourselves by limitation of people who think that age is oldness and that we should act our age. You know, you've heard that, act your age. And it starts out when you're a little child. They say, act your age. And they never stop saying it. But what is your age? Whatever you determine it to be. And if you determine your age to be ageless, well, that's great. Can you conceive of an ageless person? Well, keep your mind focused on that. If you can conceive of an ageless person, that's a person who's young, vital, dynamic, alive, always and all times and doing everything. And sure, young people get tired too. Young people run a race and they get tired. But there are some people who can run hour after hour after hour and not get tired. Amazing, isn't it? Some people who run the marathons and the Olympics. And they're running, and they're really running. And they pace themselves. And they don't feel they're going to be tired. The minute you feel you're going to be tired, you're dead. You're over with. The minute you give in to your body, instead of saying, my mind is what runs this show, not my body. My body is willing to do anything I want it to do. My body is beautiful, fantastic. I believe in it. It functions for me perfectly, you know. Same with your car. When you believe in your car, it functions for you. But if you think your car's got a problem, oh, you're going to worry that problem, and you're going to go to the dealer, and you're going to go here and go there, and pretty soon you're going to really have a problem. Mm-hmm. Because you have created it, because you needed it, because you wanted it, because you named it. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us not to do that. Now, are you ready? Are you ready to experience this? Ellen and Sylvia were arguing with me tooth and nail that in the Song of the Spirit I was saying this and saying that and saying the other thing. And I said, not really. Not really. It's been since 1976 when I wrote that book, or 77, that I last read it. But the thing is, my convictions remain the same. My beliefs remain the same. And if you're going to read into it your limitations and your aspirations of things that you think are not there, you'll find them. You'll find them. But if you want to read into it what is our philosophy, and what is our conviction, you'll say, man, this is so simple, so forthright, so beautiful to follow. It is so easy to read, because one point just follows the other, and they build upon each other like a beautiful house that's being built. And when you're done, you've got an absolute mansion there, an absolute castle in which to live, with everything in perfect divine order. Now, that's what you want. Now, if that's what you want, then keep your thoughts clear, keep your mind pure, realize that all is in divine order, and realize that what you read and what I said may be two different things. So, I could make a mistake in there. I can't imagine how, but I could make a mistake in there. And if I did, you would think that in between this over 30-year period of people reading that book and for taking the graduate course, they would have told me. And now first, you're telling me that my chapters are too long and too intense and too deep. Now first, you're telling me that there are some areas in there that are not easy to understand. Now first, you are beginning to understand it after having taken the program and the course maybe a good 10, 12 years ago, you know? How interesting. Maybe this is the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Yes.
To read that book and not only read it for making sure it's correct, but read it from another point of view. Read it from the point of view, do you understand what it's saying? And if you understand what it's saying, then you can be the most marvelous proctor that ever existed. One of our prisoners writes and says he loves the minister's manual, and he said, what is that tree on the cover of the minister's manual? I'd like to hear what it has to tell me. It has something to tell me. So I wrote what the tree said and sent it to him, and we'll see what he has to say about that. But so it is. Well, you have a lovely evening, and remember, the Absolute Philosopher doesn't pull any punches, and the Absolute Philosopher goes where angels fear to tread, but the Absolute Philosopher is always the philosopher, philosophizing about his conviction, his point of view, and yours may be different, but the reason that we're together is because our convictions are on the same path. Have a lovely day, lovely evening, and know that I love you.
Love you.
Eternally.